Welcome to Guiding Stars. Friends, this is Sama Yusuf from Pakistan, and today I'm with you for the audio magazine Guiding Stars. The main purpose of this audio magazine is to bring new ways of communication and understanding throughout the blind and the sighted community. This magazine is going to be unique among other magazines because we have gathered all of our guiding stars from different parts of the world who believe if we can dream it, we can do it. So let's begin our journey of guiding stars. A beautiful song presented by Megan from United States, in which she tells,
"Hey everyone, my name is Megan Green, and I'm doing this recording for audio magazine Guiding Stars. I wanted to tell you about my song, Steady as a Rock.
I'll make you steady as a rock, so hold on to my hand."
Kids Corner. In part 1, an interesting story about Pinocchio. Once upon a time, there was an old man named David who lived in a small town. And in part 2, a segment where you will hear some interesting animal sounds by Marty from Canada.
I'm now going to pronounce the names of some common animals as they would be said in English, and following the name, I'll make the sound that English-speaking people would make in order to mimic what those animals sound like. The first one is a dog. Woof, woof, woof.
Amazing facts! That will really amaze you, presented by Adib from Rawalpindi, Pakistan.
Hi, I'm Adib Durab. I'm currently a news anchor at PTV. And following are some amazing facts.
Amazing facts. A typical hurricane produces the energy equivalent to 1,008 megaton bombs.
A recipe for potato donuts presented by Wendy from United States.
This recipe is for potato donuts. Ingredients: 1 cup boiled potato.
A beautiful poem presented by Salman from Lahore, Pakistan.
The name of the poem is A Nation's Strength, and it is written by Tall Waldo Emerson. Not gold, but only men can make.
Phrases of greeting in German by Ralph from Germany.
My name is Ralf. Hello, how are you doing? Hallo, wie geht es Ihnen?
Web Corner by Talal from Islamabad, Pakistan.
Hello and assalamu alaikum, and a very warm welcome to all of you to the Guiding Star. I'm Talal Vahid. We are together going to have fun with the Web Corner. And in this Web Corner, we are going to have some of the information about the informative and entertaining websites. So without wasting a single minute, let's go through the websites which we have chosen for you.
An interview of Vakas from United Kingdom. by Larry from the USA.
Hello, everyone. This is Larry Johnson from San Antonio, Texas, and we're doing a special interview for Guiding Star. And I'm going to speak with a gentleman from London, England, and I'd like him to introduce himself and tell a little bit about his background and what he does over in London. Waqas Hussain.
Good afternoon, Larry. Good afternoon, everyone. As you said, my name is Waqas Hussain, and I'm based here in London.
3 days to see. Abridged version of the article written by Helen Keller, presented by Salman from Pakistan.
Assalamu alaikum. Dear friends, I would like to give a brief introduction of mine before reading this fantastic and magical piece by Helen Keller. My name is Salman Khalid and I live in Lahore, a very thrilling and exciting city of Pakistan.
A documentary, Enchanting Shadows. Enchanting Shadows. These entrancing shadows seem to captivate any human heart. These mystifying shadows appear to yearn for communicating something to their beholder. A beautiful song by Suhail Rana, an original composition in which he shared his thoughts and sent a message to the Guiding Star team.
Simon, you and your team are doing a wonderful job. In fact, your audio magazine, Guiding Stars, is a mission.
A Guiding Star team message to our Sadat community, presented by Naveed from Rawalpindi, Pakistan.
Hello and welcome. This is me, Naveed from Pakistan. In this segment of Audio Magazine, I am going to read an article of Stephanie Samuelson, in which she is going to describe how to interact and communicate with blind people.
A beautiful song presented by Megan from United States, in which he tells...
Hey everyone, my name is Megan Green, and I'm doing this recording for audio magazine Guiding Stars. I wanted to tell you about my song, Steady as a Rock. And this song is about God and how He loves us, and He says, I will make you steady as a rock, so hold on to my hand.
I'll make you steady as a rock, so hold on to my hand. I'll make you steady as a rock, so hold on to my hand. When times are tough, everything's gone wrong. I am here your whole life long, steady as a rock, so hold on to my hand. I'll make you steady as a rock, so hold on to my hand. I'll make you steady as a rock, so hold on to my hand. When times are tough, everything's gone wrong. Faith you have seems almost everything's gone wrong. I am here your whole life long, steady as a rock, so hold on to my hand. Hold on to my hand. Somewhere my love will speak to you when you're down and out. I'll take you through.
Corner. In part 1, an interesting story about Pinocchio.
Once upon a time, there was an old man named David who lived in a small town. He was a carpenter and made very beautiful things using wood. One night, he saw a piece of wood lying on the floor. All of a sudden, an idea came to his mind. Maybe he should make a statue. He started cutting the wood and worked hard the whole night, making the statue, which he named Pinocchio. Looking at the statue, he started thinking and prayed to God. Oh God, if only this statue can talk to me and make him my son. The fairy godmother was listening to his wish. She swung her magic stick, abracadabra, and Pinocchio became a real boy. When David got up, he ran towards Pinocchio, and amazed, Pinocchio was blinking his eyes. David became so happy, he brought new clothes and sweets for him. One day, when Pinocchio was walking on the road, he saw three coins on the floor. He picked them up and put them into his pocket. All of a sudden, a cat and a friend fox appeared and told Pinocchio there was a magic land nearby.
Meow, meow, Pinocchio, you take these coins and put them on the floor. And then you will get the plant of coins. Meow, meow.
Afterward, the boat disappeared. Pinocchio started walking and the sun started to set. Darkness spread. He got scared and started crying. All of a sudden, the same god fairy mother appeared and said, Pinocchio, you go back home. Your father is worried, and give him these coins that you picked up from the floor. Pinocchio got scared and told a lie, saying that he didn't have any coins. Soon his nose became long, very long, and he started crying. The fairy godmother told him that he had told a lie, and that is his punishment. She said, Pinocchio, if you want to get rid of that long nose, you pray to God and tell him that you are sorry. Pinocchio started praying,
Oh God, please forgive me. I will never lie again.
He started walking back home. When he reached home, he told the whole story to his father. He smiled at Pinocchio and said, "Oh, my son, you did a very good thing by asking God for forgiveness. Now you look at your nose." When Pinocchio placed his hand on his nose, he realized that it's back to its original shape. On that day, he promised his father he would never lie again. See, children, we get this lesson from the story that we never tell a lie. God forbid that your nose would become long like Pinocchio's. Okay, children, goodbye from now till next time. And in part 2, a segment where you will hear some interesting animal sounds by Marty from Canada.
I'm now going to pronounce the names of some common animals as they would be said in English. And following the name, I'll make the sound that English-speaking people would make in order to mimic what those animals sound like. The first one is a dog. Next would be a cat. Meow, meow, meow. Then is a cow. Moo, moo. Then a lamb or a sheep. Baa, baa, baa. Next comes a lion. Roar, roar. Then comes a pig. Oink, 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 oink. Next is a rooster. Then is a chicken, a hen, a female chicken. Quack, 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 quack. Then comes a duck. Quack, 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 quack. Now a wolf. Oh!
Amazing facts. That will really amaze you. Presented by Adi from Rawalpindi, Pakistan.
Hi, I'm Adi Abdurab. I'm currently a news anchor at PTV, and following are some amazing facts.
Amazing facts. A typical hurricane produces the energy equivalent to 1,008 megaton bombs. If struck by lightning, your skin will be heated to 28,000 degrees Celsius, hotter than the surface of the sun. There are 62,000 miles of blood vessels in the human body. Laid end to end, they would circle the earth 2.5 times. A person can die from total lack of sleep sooner than he can die of starvation. Children grow faster in spring than they do at any other time of the year. There is a small amount of cyanide in apple seeds. If every person in China stood on a chair and jumped off at the same time, it would knock the earth off its axis. Due to precipitation, for a few weeks, K2 is taller than Mount Everest. There are over 100 billion galaxies, with each galaxy having billions of stars. The human tongue is the strongest muscle in the body. Because of the rotation of the Earth, you can throw a ball farther to the west than to the east. Men can read smaller print than women can, but women can hear better than men can. Intelligent people have more zinc and copper in their hair. Each king in the deck of cards represents a great king in history. Spades, King David. Hearts, Charlemagne. Clubs, Alexander the Great. Diamonds, Julius Caesar. If you start spelling out numbers, you will not see the letter A till you reach the number 1000. Bulletproof vests, fire escapes, windshield wipers and laser printers were all invented by women. In the weightlessness of space, a frozen pea will explode if it comes in contact with Pepsi. A Boeing 747 is capable of flying upside down if it weren't for the fact that the wings would shear off when trying to roll it over.
Thank you everybody for listening. That's all for this edition. We'll see you next time.
A recipe for potato donuts presented by Wendy from United States.
This recipe is for potato donuts. Ingredients: 1 cup boiled potato, mashed. 4 teaspoons baking powder. 2 tablespoons butter or oil. 1 egg. 2 3/4 cup flour. 1 pinch of salt. 1 cup caster or icing sugar. 1 teaspoon vanilla essence. Directions. Beat egg and add sugar gradually, continuing to beat. Add vanilla and continue to beat. In a separate bowl, combine flour, salt, baking powder, butter, and mashed potato. Add the flour batter to the egg and sugar mixture and mix well. If the dough seems hard, add a little bit of milk for softness. Cover and let stand for approximately an hour. Roll out the dough with a rolling pin to about 1/4 inch. Cut the dough with a donut cutter. If you don't have a donut cutter, try using a lid with a small hole in it. Deep fry the donuts on medium heat until golden brown. 4 donuts at a time is recommended. Enjoy!
A beautiful poem presented by Salman from Lahore, Pakistan.
The name of the poem is A Nation's Strength, and it is written by a tall Waldo Emerson. Not gold, but only men can make a people great and strong. Men who for truth and honor's sake stand fast and suffer long. Brave men who work while others sleep, who dare while others fly. They build a nation's pillars deep and lift them into the sky.
Phrases of greeting in German by Ralf from Germany.
Hello, Guiding Star members. Simon pleased me to give some input to this audio magazine, and I'm really pleased to do so. My name is Ralf, R-A-L-F, and I'm from Germany. I'm living here in the middle of Germany, near Frankfurt, in a mountain area. It is called Taunus, and we are up to 700 meters, and we have a lot of woods, a lot of bees. I'm not sure if you can hear this snoring noise coming from my left. That's my he-cat. He's called Conchito, and he's laying on my scanner. He's a 12-year-old he-cat, and I've got him from Madrid in Spain. I also want to let you know that I'm visual impaired. I've got retinitis pigmentosa. I'm using a screen reader. The screen reader helps me a lot, so without the screen reader I wouldn't be able to continue with my job, and I wouldn't be able to do all my hobbies, like music, MP3 files, like programming. I'm a programmer, and I do a lot of useful things for blind people. That means I'm programming print tools, which makes it easier to access a PC. Saima pleased me to give you a small introduction in the German language, so what I will do is I will say some English phrases, and after that I will say them in German language. Okay, so let me start with a greeting phrase. In English, it's very usual that you say, "Hello, how are you doing?" In Germany, we say, "Hallo, wie geht es Ihnen?" And if I want to introduce myself in English, I would say, "My name is Ralf, and I'm from Germany." In German language, it sounds, "Mein Name ist Ralf, und ich bin von Deutschland." And you see, if you meet someone in the morning, you say, "Good morning." In Germany, we say, "Guten Morgen," or we say, "Guten Abend," which means, "Good evening." Or if we want to say, "Good night," it sounds, "Gute Nacht," "Schlaf gut," "Sleep well." Or let's say you are leaving. In English, you say, "Goodbye." In Germany, we say, "Auf Wiedersehen." Or in a short version, we say, "Tschüss," which is similar to the English word "bye." So I want to say "Tschüss" and "Auf Wiedersehen," "Goodbye," and I wish you a wonderful good time wherever you are. Bye.
Web Corner by Talal from Islamabad, Pakistan.
Hello and assalamu alaikum, and a very warm welcome to all of you to the Guiding Star. I'm Talal Vahid. We are together going to have fun with the web corner. And in this web corner, we are going to have some of the information about the informative and entertaining websites. So without wasting a single minute, let's go through the websites which we have chosen for you. Firstly, we have a very famous among the blind people. Some of you people may know it before. This is basically eyes2eyes.com. But personally, I didn't know it before, and during the preparation for the Guiding Star, I just came to know about it. Anyways, eyes2eyes.com, how we type it, www.eyes2, then again eyes.com. In this website, we are having so many things, recipe round, medical madness, e-pals. Now, in the e-pals, it's a great feature that you can find new friends over here. And on the other hand, you can even list down your name for others so that people can make friendships with you. On the other hand, in the medical madness, there are jumping name, medical madness, mad kind of topic. But there is no madness. There is a very serious topic in it. And you are going to have medical information over here about some of the diseases and, of course, some of the procurements are also given in this section, so better visit it very soon, as soon as possible, I must say, because it's the place to visit, really. Recipe roundup. In this, we are going to have very tasty things, and this is the section I like the most about many websites, because it develops the taste, you know. During the surfing, you feel that you are having urge of something. And of course, I'm talking about the hunger, not anything else. Anyways, we talk about the job jungle. Some of the software helping tools are also here in the job jungle. You can find out the jobs, but it's not being updated very quickly. Household helper, you are basically going to have analysis or some of the suggestion to have the crockery if you are moving somewhere else, or if you are planning to move for the picnic, it can suggest you what to have or what to put as a crockery or as a household. What can you bring to that place? And it's very useful, of course. Points to ponder, it's another link in which simply there are some of the quotations and good words over there. Secondly, we are having the website with the name of bored.com. bored, it's a bored.com when you're bored, and fun stuff available for you. In this, you can be paid for the idea you generate specifically. Second section is for the women, and when I say it's for the women, the male party will be more attentive towards it. I know. Anyways, it's normalization, I must say, normality. And the women section is that you can try the free samples of the scrub available over here if you can make experiments on your skin and if you hate pimples and acne. And free virtual pets are available. If you adopt one of the pet available on this website, you can earn $100. And the free virtual pets, about, I must say that this is a virtual buddies designed for you, some of the parrots and mitu kind of things designed for you, and they'll talk, they'll dance, so they can make things interesting for you people. Free video games, free music is available, but is not at all free in such a way that you go and download like the other web portals are, like PISP.com or MP3music.com, MP3fiesta.com. This is not about that. This is the way that you have to adopt for the free music, that you have to rate the music first on this website. When you rate the music, and if that music wins in the music channel charts, then you are going to have that music free of cost from this website. You can also have the video games, you can also have some of the recipes available over here, and you can also earn cash by different means available over here. They have mentioned it very briefly on this website, so you must visit it. It's bored.com, bored.com. The next website we have is rehabmart.com, rehabmart.com. rehabmart.com basically is a different website and a sort of technical website with the medical equipment facilities information. The medical equipment facilities can be with the perspective of the visually impaired people, and it is providing you basically the low vision equipments, low vision aids, and low vision devices used for the daily living skills. And of course, and specifically, they are focusing the medical field. For more information and details, you'll have to visit it. That is rehabmart.com. Next, we have another good website. What is that? that is jfwlight.com. Now you will consider that these are the web portals, very old and very popular website, but few of the people don't know it. And apparently if you see this website, it looks like a very little thing, like it does not contain anything useful or something, but it is having some of the material very useful, that even you'll access one link and there will be hundreds of many other links opening for you under that particular link. So there are specifically 6-7 links available. So JFW Lite is providing you the softwares with the accessibility of the JAWS, and they are also giving you helpful hints for that. JFW Voice Chat is also recently added in this website. Favorites are also given, in which you have some of the specific collection of the softwares, training and tutorials related to the JAWS for Windows regarding some useful features and softwares and utilities, and antiviruses are also available. We were talking about the jfwlight.com, but now we are moving ahead and we are having the website which is just too good, and the name of this website is also just too good.co.uk, and you can spell it JUST2GOOD.co.uk. Now, justtoogood.co.uk provides us the best information technology information resource. They provide you the forum to discuss your technological problems if you have, and they also provide you the solutions and helping material and tutorials as well. Step-by-step guides are available on their website. Basically, the thing which I prefer on this website, that is the tutorials, which are basically designed specifically with the JAWS helping tools. So you can have a look on it. Anyways, they also provide you the information about the hardware as well as the software. They also guide you about the information technology wherever you are lacking. So you can have a look on this website. The website is called justtoogood.co.uk. Anyways, the listeners of the Guiding Star, it was all about the web corner of this edition. You can give your comments to Saima regarding this section as well. So thank you so much, and it's been fun. Thank you so much. Take care.
An interview of Vakas from United Kingdom by Larry from the USA.
Hello everyone, this is Larry Johnson from San Antonio, Texas, and we're doing a special interview for Guiding Star. And I'm going to speak with a gentleman from London, England, and I'd like him to introduce himself and tell a little bit about his background and what he does over in London. Waqas Hussain.
Good afternoon, Larry. Good afternoon, everyone. As you said, my name is Waqas Hussain, and I'm based in London. Now, what I do, well, I think the best way to describe my profession is I work as a management consultant, and I cover a number of fields, including diversity awareness, equal opportunities, discrimination law, and e-accessibility and usability for disabled people. So we effectively sell disability as a business benefit to large corporates and also to the public sector here in UK, across Europe and North America.
Well, because what has been the biggest obstacle for you since losing your sight?
Well, basically, I have got a congenital condition known as the retinitis pigmentosa, or known as RP in short. So, which basically means, you know, I never had full sight, but I was 9 when it was first diagnosed officially for me. But I don't think I ever had night vision at all. The biggest obstacle for me, I suppose, was when I reached a time around my graduation when I did not have any useful sight left, because I always had some tunnel vision, so I could read books with low vision aids, etc., etc. So perhaps, you know, that was the most difficult part of my life.
And how have you managed to become employed? What special resources or adaptive technology has helped you most in being successful?
Well, I think there are two issues here, Larry. I think it's all about access and resources, as you've said. I reached a point, as I said, when I had no vision left, and my employer actually suggested me to visit an RNIB college for an assessment. And when I went there, they actually demonstrated a, you know, text-to-speech software called JAWS. And basically, you know, they turned my life there, so I could see a way, I could see, you know, a resource which I could use to actually just adapt to, you know, for my future life. And plus, I had some mobility training with a long white cane there. And I think it was quite a horrible experience in the beginning, holding a long white cane, you know. And but I think with the passage of time, I learned those skills. So I think technology in terms of accessing resources or trying to express myself, and I think my mobility with a long white cane in terms of moving around independently, I think those were the two main things, you know, which I think enabled me in terms of what I'm doing today.
What advice would you offer to other blind or visually impaired persons on how they can become more independent and live happily and successfully?
I think I would like to share a little anecdote or a little story with you to make my point. Once upon a time, there was a king, and he wanted to go out to visit every single home in his kingdom. And in those ages, you know, the roads were all very stony and stuff. And when the king went around on his trip, you know, his feet were bleeding and all that. And when he went back to his palace, he ordered his courtiers to actually cover all the roads, you know, in his kingdom with leather skin. And one of the courtiers actually said, you know, rather than actually asking us to cover the entire roads, you know, with leather skin, why don't you just cover your feet, you know, with leather skin, I put on some shoes. So that's my message. We can't actually change the whole world as such. The main thing is to adapt with the new realities. The technology is there. All you need is the will, vision, and vigor, you know, how to be more adaptable with the surrounding environments.
Well, you certainly are a positive example and a wonderful role model for other visually impaired and blind persons around the world. As a final question, I'd like to ask you to offer a message to the sighted public, to those who may be listening to this interview. How could they best be advised to deal with persons who are visually impaired?
I think the main issue in my concern there is that there are a lot of assumptions about disabled people or visually impaired people, what they can do or can't do. My message to the sighted communities would be, give the person a chance. Everyone has got something what I call their coping mechanism. They know their way how to work around things. So give the person some dignity and control of the conversation. And they are the best people, you know, can actually advise you how they do things. Now, somebody may be able to look at the screen, you know, to do things. Are you on a computer? I may do things differently that I'm relying on the speech output there. But obviously, they don't know, you know, how it's going to work. So the best thing would be give that visually impaired person a chance to explain, you know, what their coping mechanism is and just work around that.
Thank you so much for visiting with us, Waqas Hussain from London, England. For Guiding Star, this is Larry Johnson, San Antonio, Texas.
3 Days to See. Abridged version of the article written by Helen Keller, presented by Salman from Pakistan.
Assalamu alaikum. Dear friends, I would like to give a brief introduction of mine before reading this fantastic and magical piece by Helen Keller. My name is Salman Khalid and I live in Lahore, a very thrilling and exciting city of Pakistan. I would be 25 soon and I'm totally blind person. I have done my master's degree in English literature and also continuing my further studies in linguistics as well as in special education. When Saima told me that I had to prepare something inspiring for her magazine, I was really confused as to what should be the item that I had to come up with. When I started reading this, I was really dumbfounded to have received such powerful chain of words from someone who did not have the capacity to see nor hear a single sound of this universe. And it was a real test for me when I had to extract some of the passages out of this marvelous piece and include for this magazine. But as the limited time remains a real factor, so I had to cut it down. Please do not forget that all these words have been produced by the lady who was blind and deaf and dumb, and yet she has shown great, miraculous and brilliant work through her observations. Imagine every beautiful journey that has been described through 3 Days to See by Helen Keller. 3 Days to See by Helen Keller.
Sometimes I have thought it would be an excellent rule to live each day as if we should die tomorrow. Such an attitude would emphasize sharply the values of life. We should live each day with a gentleness, a vigor, and a keenness of appreciation which are often lost when time stretches before us in the constant panorama of more days and months and years to come. The most of us, however, take life for granted. We know that one day we must die, but usually we picture that day as far in the future. When we are in buoyant health, death is all but unimaginable. We seldom think of it. The days stretch out in an endless vista, so we go about our petty tasks, hardly aware of our listless attitude toward life. I have often thought it would be a blessing if each human being were stricken blind and deaf for a few days at some time during his early adult life. Darkness would make him more appreciative of sight. Silence would teach him the joys of sound. Now and then I have tested my seeing friends to discover what they see. Recently, I was visited by a very good friend who had just returned from a long walk in the woods, and I asked her what she had observed. "Nothing in particular," she replied. I might have been incredulous had I not been accustomed to such responses, for long ago I became convinced that the seeing see little. How was it possible, I asked myself, to walk for an hour through the woods and see nothing worthy of note? I who cannot see find hundreds of things to entrust me through mere touch. I feel the delicate symmetry of a leaf. I pass my hands lovingly about the smooth skin of a silver bird or the rough shaggy bark of a pine. In spring, I touch the branches of trees, hopefully in search of a bird, the first sign of awakening nature after her winter's sleep. I feel the delightful, velvety texture of a flower and discover its remarkable convolutions, and something of the miracle of nature is revealed to me. Occasionally, if I am very fortunate, I place my hand gently on a small tree and feel the happy quiver of a bird in full song. I am delighted to have the cool waters of a brook rush through my open fingers. To me, a lush carpet of pine needles or spongy grass is more welcome than the most luxurious Persian rug. To me, the pageant of seasons is a thrilling and unending drama, the action of which streams through my fingertips. At times, my heart cries out with longing to see all these things. If I can get so much pleasure from mere touch, how much more beauty must be revealed by sight? Yet those who have eyes apparently see little. The panorama of color and action which fills the world is taken for granted. If I were the president of a university, I should establish a compulsory course that is how to use your eyes. The professor would try to teach his students how they could add joy to their lives by really seeing what passes unnoticed before them. If by some miracle I were granted 3 days to see, to be followed by a relapse into darkness, I should divide the period into 3 parts. On the first day, I should want to see the people whose gentleness, kindness, and companionship have made my life worth living. First, I should like to see the face of my dear teacher, Mrs. Anne Sullivan Macy, who came to me when I was a little child and opened the outer world to me. The first day would be a busy one. I should call to me all my dear friends and look long into their faces, imprinting upon my mind the outward beauty that is within them. I should let my eyes rest too on the face of the little baby so that I could catch a vision of the eager, innocent beauty.
In the afternoon of that first seeing day, I should take a long walk in the woods and intoxicate my eyes on the beauties of the world of nature. When the dusk had fallen, I should experience the double delight of being able to see by an artificial light which the genius of man has created to extend the power of his sight when the nature brings darkness. In the night of that first day of sight, I should not be able to sleep, so the full would be my mind of the memories of the day. The next day, the second day of my sight, I should arise with the dawn and see the thrilling miracle by which the night is transformed into day. I should behold with awe the fantastic panorama of light with which the sun awakens the sleeping earth. This day, I should devote to a hasty glimpse of the world, the past and present. I should want to see the pageants of man progress, the kaleidoscope of the ages. So my next stop would be the Metropolitan Museum of Art, as for the Museum of Natural History reveals the material aspects of the world, so does the Metropolitan show the countless facets of the human spirit. Throughout the history of humanity, the urge to artistic expression has been almost as powerful as the urge for food, shelter, and procreation. So on this, the second day of my sight, I should try to probe into the soul of man through his art. The things I knew through touch, I should now see. More splendid still, the whole magnificent world of painting would be open to me. From the Italian primitives with their serene religious devotions to the moderns with their feverish visions. Oh, there is so much rich meaning and beauty in the ages of the art for you who have eyes to see. With extreme reluctance, I should leave the Metropolitan Museum, which contains the key to beauty, a beauty so neglected. The following morning, I should again greet the dawn, anxious to discover the new delights. This, according to the terms of my imagined miracle, is to be the third and last day of my sight. I shall have no time to waste in regrets or longings, as there is still too much to see. The first day, I devoted to my friends, animate and inanimate. The second revealed to me the history of man and nature. Today, I shall spend in the workday world of the present amid the haunts of man going about the business of life. And where one can find so many activities and conditions of man as in New York, so the city becomes my destination. I start from my own home in the quiet little suburb of Forest Hills, the Long Island. Here, surrounded by green lawns, trees and flowers, are the neat little houses, happy with the voices and movements of the wives and children, havens of the peaceful rest for men who toil in the city. I look ahead and before me rise the fantastic towers of New York, a city that seems to have stepped from the pages of a fairy tale. What an awe-inspiring sight, these glittering spires, these vast banks of the stones and steel sculptures, such as the god might build for themselves. This animated picture is the part of the lives of millions of the people every day. How many, I wonder, give it so much as a second glance? Very few, I fear. Their eyes are blind to this fantastic sight because it is so familiar to them. Now I begin the rounds in my city. First, I stand at a busy corner, merely looking at people, trying by sight of them to understand something of their lives. I see the smiles and I'm happy. I see the serious determination and I'm proud. I see the suffering and I'm compassionate. So, my third day of sight is drawing to an end. Perhaps there are many serious pursuits to which I should devote the few remaining hours, but I'm afraid on the evening of that last day I should run into the theater to a hilariously funny play so that I might appreciate the overtones of the comedy in the human spirit. At midnight, my temporary respite from blindness would cease and the permanent night would close in on me again. Naturally, in those 3 short days, I should not have seen all I wanted to see. Only when darkness had again descended upon me should I realize how much I had left unseen. But my mind would be so overcrowded with the glorious memories that I should have little time for regrets. Thereafter, the touch of every object will bring a glowing memory of how that object looked.
A documentary, Enchanting Shadows. Enchanting shadows. These entrancing shadows seem to captivate any human heart. These mystifying shadows appear to yearn for communicating something to their beholder. That the emptiness now prevailing here was not always the destiny of this area, and it was once full of life and vigor. Today we are going to inquire these shadows, whose desolation seems to penetrate in the depth of our soul. What they are, where they have come from, and what they want to say. These mysterious shadows are part of stacked hillocks and mounds of Potohar Plateau in Punjab, Pakistan, which is said to have been submerged in the vast surfing Emerald Sea millions of years ago. Time rolled on and the grand drama of mighty nature made the sea to recede away to the Arabian Sea. The departing sea left behind the signs of its past existence. These mysterious shadows are part of once underwater mountain ranges, now exposed to sun and wind. Fossils discovered from time to time show that this land then became vibrant as habitat of such enormous animals like dinosaurs and rhinos. The crude stone weapons unearthed in this area revealed that man appeared on the scene about 500,000 years ago and spent early years of Stone Age here. Historians confirm from the ancient coins, weapons, and instruments found in this area that human civilization had taken root here as early as 5,000 years ago. Some old relics are associated with a nation called Sava that lived on the Pank River Sava. Farwala Killa. A fort called Farwala Killa near the River Sava symbolizes a significant chapter of the recorded history of this area. It is a monumental masterpiece of Gadkhar nation constructed during 15th century. Founder of Mughal Empire, Zahiruddin Babur conquered it but returned it to Gadkhar after reconciliation. Kallar Kahar. Kallar Kahar is a masterwork of natural beauty found in Potohar. Geographically, it is part of Potohar region extending towards Magala range. One can reach easily here through Islamabad from motorway. A beautiful natural lake welcomes you first of all. It is one of the sanctuaries of migratory birds in winter and a nice place to have a closer look of majestic flights of these birds. Sometimes they seem to show their cheerfulness by diving into the lake while flying high in the sky. This natural lake is the reservoir of water created by brooks springing from the surrounding hills. A narrow passage leads you towards the place where herds of deer and flocks of peacock are seen roaming freely. They contribute to the beauty of the location. An interesting thing is the belief of local people that nobody can harm or steal these birds because the area is under the spiritual influence of a saint whose mausoleum is in the vicinity. Whoever tries such a misdeed suffers painful consequences. Even if not so, who will like to deprive such beautiful creatures of their trouble-free liberty and see them behind the bars of a narrow cage? These flocks of peacocks can be seen closely when management of the said mausoleum feed them at dawn and dusk. small recreation park marred the natural beauty of this lake to some extent. Some people are seen trying to absorb the splendor of this lake in sailing boats. There are many orchards of apricots and pears around this lake, and colors and fragrance of roses found here are unique. Kallarkahar also belongs to the salt range, and even the stones taste bitter due to the abundance of salts. The uneven ground is further ragged through erosion by rainwater, and gushing springs have created a network of streams in the area. The local people call this area Vanhar, which means the land of stream. Kallarkahar has been on the ancient trade route starting from the Khyber Pass. The famous battle between Alexander the Great and Rajaporus was fought in the vicinity, where Alexander had to encounter the trained war elephant for the first time. Zahiruddin Babur, when passing through this area, was so much enchanted by the exquisiteness of this place and its environment that he ordered to prepare a garden here, the first one of Mughal style, and named it Bagh-e-Safa, the Garden of the Pure. Many other invaders had also conquered and passed through this region before Babur. One can hear in his imagination the whispers of the countless traders, scholars, mystics, and travelers passing here with their caravans, telling their tale. They seem to inform us that they too had treaded the place where we have now set our feet. Katas Raj Temple. Katas Raj Temple is another important place of Potohar region. It is about 40 kilometers away from Chakwal city. It comprises of 7 temples and also called Sadghara. Architectures of these temples belongs to Hindu. Oldest of these temples, Raj Mandir, is said to be constructed thousands of years ago. Many Hindu religious tales and legends are associated with this place. 5 Pandu brothers of the legend of Kauravas and Pandus, narrated in the masterpiece of the language Sanskrit Mahabharata, are said to have spent their period of exile in this area. Similarly, according to another Hindu religious anecdote, Lord Shiva wept so dearly on death of his wife that 2 pools were filled with his tears. One of such pools is in Ajmer, India, and the other one is in Katas, Pakistan. Name of this place, Katas, is derivative of word Kataksha, meaning weeping eyes. All of these temples are in rectangular shape. The temple of Ramachandra is very near to the Haveli of Hari Singh. Consisting of 8 rooms, this temple seems to tell the tale of its devastation. Its casements are so damaged that you cannot imagine. Hanuman's temple is also very important. Many Hindu pilgrims visit this place every year and perform ablution in the holy pond. Uchali Lake. Uchali Lake in Salt Range is about 400 years old. Its water is salty. Local people tell about a strange phenomenon that happened in 1982 at this place. They say that a rainbow appeared, which remained visible for a whole fortnight continuously. This spectacle was never scientifically explained. However, some people suggest that it might have been caused by the effect of molten lava lying deep underneath this lake. The salt mine of Kyora. The vast and great salt range is part of Potohar Plateau. Everything here seems to be salty, even the stone. The salt mine of Kyora carries special importance, which is largest in the world and oldest in the subcontinent. It is said to be discovered during Alexander's attack on the subcontinent. Interesting aspect of this occurrence is that it was neither Alexander nor any of his allied who has discovered the mines, but his horse. As the story goes, when he had a stopover here and horses were set free to graze, one of the horses was found licking a stone. Seeing this unusual phenomenon, a soldier himself tasted the stone and found it salty. This became the starting point of excavation of salt. Afterwards, a local Raja purchased or occupied the mines. At the time of establishment of Pakistan, it was owned by successors of Raja Mal. They seem to be associated with Mallat Fort, constructed by Raja Mal. Salt is found here in the form of cubic crystal of varying colors, transparent, light pink, white, and red. These beautiful forms are representations of artwork of Almighty God. For a closer look, you can get on electric train that will carry you deep inside the mines filled with the beautiful treasure of salt. Who can deny the colorfulness of God's creation after observing those shining multitude pieces of salt? A mosque constructed of transparent salt is really a piece of art. The magnificent colors which joyfully spread out when the light passes through prism-like salt seem to divide the charm of a rainbow. A marvelous network of salt stone patterns like grapevines testifies that such creations of man can divert our attentions towards supreme creativity of God. Ruta's Fort. Historically, Potuhar contains in it the influences and remains of a multiplicity of civilizations. Ruta's Fort was constructed by Sher Shah Suri for defense purposes. Its architecture is an example of combined Pakhtun and Hindu expertise. He wanted to forestall the attack of King Humayun from the side, whom he had already defeated and forced to retreat outside from the subcontinent. Moreover, he suspected that local Gurkha tribes were still loyal to Humayun, and they must be controlled effectively. This is such a sizable fort that can accommodate an army of about 30,000 warriors. Such a high fortification wall, gigantic gates, and strong narrow stairs contribute to its strength and invincibility. Some part of the fort is made of large chunks of stone, while rest is brickwork. This 533 meters long wall separates some portions of the fort from others. Fort has 12 gates, and interesting thing is that each gate has its own name and a story associated with it. Sohail Gate. This gate brings thoroughly light to the architectural art of the era of Sher Shah Suri. It is believed to have acquired its name from a saint named Sohail Bukhari, whose mausoleum is near the gate. But some people say it was named after the star Sohail, which rises in the direction of this gate. The arcs at the both sides of the gate are beautifully decorated with the stonework, which includes carved sunflowers. It explains the decorative art of the age. Shah Chand Wali Gate. This gate connects the outer and the inner part of the fort. This gate is also named after a holy man, Shah Chand Wali. He had taken part in construction work of the fort but refused to accept wages. He died during the construction. His tomb is beside the gate. Kabuli Gate. This gate is situated in the direction of Kabul, the capital of Afghanistan, hence the name. There is a mosque named Shahi Masjid at one side of the gate, due to which it is also called Shahi Gate. Shishi Gate. Name of this gate associated with the glazed tile used in the construction of arch on the outer wall of the gate. An inscription in Persian shows that it was built in 900 Hijra. Langar Khani Gate. This gate includes two gates leading towards Langar Khana. Langar Khana means Grand Kitchen of Army, due to which it is called a Langar Khani Gate. Talaki Gate. The word Talak in the name has its own history. It is said that King Sabir Suri became ill after entering through this gate. The people associated an ill omen with the gate and started calling it Talaki Gate. Kashmiri Gate. This gate opens in the direction of Kashmir, providing reason of this name, Khawaskhani Gate. This gate is named after a prominent general of Sher Shah Suri, Khawas Khan. This is the main gate of the fort. This gate is also decorated with a beautiful stonework like Sohail Gate. Gatali Gate. This gate is named after the village Gatali towards which it's open. Anyone who is in search of that period of history will not only find solutions of too many questions in his mind, but invariably get more questions cropping up. Perturbed by these questions, he will be driven by a strong urge to continue his travels in a never-ending search. This journey can be in space as well as in mind and soul. This is the mysterious journey within journey of pursuit and quest, because the story of these mysterious shadows, their beginning, evolution and conclusion is yet incomplete, and it will remain so until the unbelievable process of nature's transform and bring new facts to light. A beautiful song by Sohail Rana, an original composition in which he shared his thoughts and sent a message to the Guiding Star team.
Saima, you and your team are doing a wonderful job. In fact, your audio magazine, Guiding Stars, is a mission which I wish and pray meets success at every pace, everywhere, and everyone you are trying to reach out. May Allah bless you all. Amin. Sohail Rana.
Laal, paano se moti, badal se bichli, phoolon se rang.
Thank you.
a Guiding Star team message to our Sadat community, presented by Naveed from Rawalpindi, Pakistan.
Hello and welcome. This is me, Naveed from Pakistan. In this segment of Audio Magazine, I am going to read an article of Stephanie Samuelson, in which she is going to describe how to interact and communicate with blind people. This article highlights statistics, guidelines, which may not appear to be in any logical order, as they are all equally important, and further elaboration in that order. This article will address common issues and how to communicate effectively with blind people, as well as give you insight about blind people as a whole. Often, sighted people make it harder than it needs to be, because when we are faced with the unfamiliar, it can appear that there is more difficulty to the situation than there really is, thus leading to overestimation or underestimation of what is most efficient. Basically, to effectively communicate with the blind people, simply apply effective communication and effective listening skills, as well as the golden rule. Always aim to think of it from another perspective, that you are in that situation. It's most likely that you, as a sighted individual, would want the same respect if you were blind individual. This is logical, because we as humans all want to be valued and respected. Steps. Number 1. Always treat blind people as just another person, as they simply do things differently. Blind does not mean can't, nor does it mean stupid. It's only a physical challenge. Number 2. Identify yourself and others, maybe with you, when meeting someone who is blind. When conversing in a group, remember to identify a person to whom you are speaking. Never talk to a third party who might be with them, such as their driver or reader or teacher or tutor, etc. Remember, you are addressing them. Number 3. If you offer assistance, wait until the offer is accepted, then listen or ask for instructions. Many blind people will accept help. However, make sure that they are aware that you are going to help them, and offer your arm, not your whole body. Number 4. Be consistent and specific when you are describing things and giving directions. The more accuracy, the more consistency, the more direct and the more description you use, the more effective your interaction will be. Blind people respond to intelligence. Number 5. Do not do for them what they can do for themselves, such as serving themselves, finding things, getting things, carrying things, etc. The last thing anyone needs is enablement for disablement. Number 6. Do not shout, just speak in a normal tone of voice, as usual. Remember, they are blind, not deaf. Number 7. Relaxed, don't be embarrassed if you use common expressions, such as see you later, or did you hear about this, that seems to relate to a person who is blind. Blind people use the same expressions. Number 8. Avoid stigmatizing words such as handicapped. Blind people do not use this word as reference to themselves, and few sighted people use it. Many blind people go as far to avoid the word disabled, as it doesn't accurately describe them. They are simply blind, a physical challenge. So blind is the word they prefer. It's nothing more, nothing less. They cope by adapting or using alternative means. There is nothing amazing about it. Tips. Don't assume. Drop the negative, misleading attitudes, beliefs. Make efforts to understand blindness, blind individuals through interaction. Make effort to understand blindness and blind individuals through research.
Before saying goodbye to all of you, let me tell you a little more about myself. My name is Sama Yusuf, and I am a visually challenged person. The editing and recording of this audio magazine, Guiding Stars, is all done on my computer, which I use in my screen reader, JAWS. I would like to send a message to parents of special children, as well as their teachers, that they must focus on what they can do. My message to everyone that when you meet a special person, try to communicate and interact with that person. Give him or her the chance to prove himself or herself to be a person of value. Our positive attitude and cooperation can be very helpful for any special person in any society. And as human beings, it's our duty to help each other. God created this world for humans, and now this is our duty to serve humanity. I want to say thanks to Almighty Allah Ta'ala for everything He has done, is doing, and will do for me. I want to say thanks to my parents, my family, and my friends who are my real guiding stars. I want to say special thanks to our guiding stars team, especially our project manager Naveed and our research manager Irfa, who really helped me out in achieving my goals. If you would like to know our upcoming projects, you can log on to www.beyondourvision.com, or let me spell it for you, www.beyondourvision.com. If you would like to contact our project manager, here is the cell number. For our local callers, 0333 544 7778, and for international callers 0092 333 544 7778. If you would like to send any feedback, or if you would like to take part as a volunteer in the audio magazine, you can send your email to our research manager at guidingstars2007@gmail.com. Or let me spell it for you, guidingstars2007@gmail.com. I would like to end up on this beautiful note. Remember, we all stumble, every one of us. That's why it's a comfort to go hand in hand.